Hey everybody, it's Brie Bagwell with your Only Vans Recap. Today, singer-songwriter and entrepreneur John Wolf joins me to talk all things music and tequila. We talk about his magical Mexico songwriting trio, including producer Dave Brainerd, who has written a ton of songs and produced many great albums, including one of my Desert Island record choices, 12 Stories by Brandi Clark, and also Mr. Tony Ramey, who has an unbelievable catalog of hits. What they're doing has been really incredible, and you can hear the hard work and alignment of talent that John has curated in his latest records. John started Juan Lobo Tequila, that's John and Wolf in Spanish if you didn't get there, and we talk about the care and top-tier production qualities of the product. Shout out to his wife and my friend Amber for being a total boss babe at Juan Lobo and all things that she does. Be sure to check out johnwolfcountry.com and JONWOLFE is how you spell that, and JuanLoboTequila.com, and Barstool Therapy Session 1, stream it wherever you can get it, and check out that music video, you guys. It's amazing, and it features comedian Uncle Laser. Thank you to Cowboys and Cadillacs in New Braunfels, Texas, for letting us film in the super cool Airstream on the incredible rooftop bar. Enjoy. Hey y'all, this is Brie Bagwell with Only Vans, and did you know this is going to be my 13th or 14th year at Music Fest in Steamboat, Colorado? I can't believe it. So this is Music Fest's 40th year being a festival. That is so incredible. It's one of the best music festivals there is. There's over 50 bands. So what are you waiting for? Go to themusicfest.com. Get on that wait list. It sells out every single year almost immediately. So you don't want to miss out. You don't want to be the only person that's not experiencing the coolest music festival there is. When you book your trip to Music Fest at Steamboat, you get 6 nights of mountainside lodging, 4 days lift passes, and 1 night lift pass. And don't forget that your Music Fest exclusive live music marathon pass is included with over 200 hours of live music and more. Go to themusicfest.com and tell them Brie Bagwell sent you. The Music Fest at Steamboat, down home, up high. Come get real with us.
I just am appreciating that you're doing that. So does that mean session one is out? That means there's going to be a session two?
Definitely will be a session two. I don't know what we're going to call it. It's a bigger project that's going to get launched next year. And let me just real quick say how thankful I am that you watched the video, because we talked about how people's attention span is so short.
Hey, hey, everybody. This is Brie Bagwell, and this is my podcast, Only Vans, where I talk to my friends in my van.
And yeah, this all one's right. Only me, and it's only feet. This one's just on your feet.
This is
at
only
all times.
Feet.
Yeah.
Welcome everybody to Only Feet with John Wolf.
Yeah.
Brie Bagwell.
Well, I did think about when I lived in Buda, and there was this really nice older lady. I'm not going to say her name for privacy purposes, but I moved to Buda, and I went to have dinner. And she was there, and she goes, every day at 4:30, I bring out my chair because John Wolf runs with his shirt off right outside my window.
Dude, there was a time back in my prime.
Yeah. I don't run anymore. I tried to run the other day. I sprained my ankle. So.
I still run. I just keep my shirt on now.
Oh, right. Yeah. It gets harder.
You know, I don't know. Maybe I could get back to that point, but I used to knock out like 20 to 30 miles a week.
Oh, my gosh.
Like a lot. Yeah.
That's insanity.
Yeah.
I don't have the knees or the ankles for that.
It's reduced greatly right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, is that how you got your lady? Now, you got a, she's like your super hot or other half.
Yeah.
No offense, but.
I figured once I got her.
No one's looking at you anymore. I was thinking.
I could just kick back now. Just let it kind of be more relaxed.
That's right. Yeah. We've earned it at this point in our lives. And I was thinking this morning, because Amber Wolf is here with my friend John Wolf. And I always joke about this on the podcast, but it happened extremely yesterday when I got a beautiful list of all the things to talk about with you from Amber, and all links to everything, which never happens. And I always say, I need a wife. That's what I need.
Well,
she really kills it for you.
Yeah, I'll say this. Like that's sort of her forte. You know, she's really great at running. She's obviously very involved in Juan Lobo Tequila, our business, and that's sort of her background, running businesses and staying on task. I'm really bad with that. So
me too. It's hard. I think all of us have a little bit of ADD or something, right? It just comes with our artist DNA.
Yeah. And I feel like that there's been a whole nother level of professionalism brought to what I'm doing when Amber kind of decided to jump in. She had another career. I talked her out of it. And so that's kind of how this has come about.
It seems like it's working. And I didn't know that you had a finance degree. That was a fun fact that I learned from her yesterday.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know that. And you were doing oil things before this.
You know, so growing up, grew up in Oklahoma and really had a lot of interest growing up. You know, I was kind of, I guess, part of me wanted to be Gordon Gekko from Wall Street. Do you know that movie?
No. I laughed like I knew.
It's kind of old. But, you know, part of me wanted to be a Wall Street stock trader. Part of me wanted to be a fly fishing guide. Or a guy that moves into the mountains and kind of also, you know, really influenced by country music growing up. So there's this outside chance I'd be a country singer. So, you know, I moved to Colorado and first I was a local. So I moved to Fort Collins, Colorado.
I didn't know this either.
Yeah.
I love Colorado.
Yeah. So I lived in Fort Collins and I worked at the mountain shop. So I was a broke rock climber, mountain climber, ended up kind of getting back into school. And that's kind of when the finance thing sort of occurred. But I mean, it was, you know, when I first went to my, what do you call those? Your entrance counselors.
Oh yeah. Admissions, the guidance counselors. Admission. Nobody knows anymore.
They looked
so
at my
long ago.
Previous grades and they were like, so you want to be a finance guy, huh? Yeah. Have you thought about any other paths?
Right. Are you sure this is the one? Like, I was a business major too. I don't know if you know that.
Really?
So okay. I was an accounting major for 2 years and then I switched and ended up with marketing. But I found that fascinating because you do have a business mind and an artist mind, which I feel they're fighting all the time. I mean, it's a good thing to have because it is a music business. But man, I just feel the struggle all the time between, I like to look at the big picture. I like to look at the financials. I like to know where all the money goes.
Mm-hmm.
But then I need to sit and be creative and write songs. And separating those can be challenging for
me. It is tough. Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, you're right. It's kind of, that's the way the new music business is. Everybody's got to have some awareness of it. But sort of flipping between the two is challenging. And then there's also that concept of, you know, you do something you love and you're passionate about it and you're making art, the money will come. And if you start chasing the dough, you're taking all of the creativity out of it. So it's a difficult thing, but in our world now it's like what's really required of us.
Yeah, I love that so much. And I also feel, because you're a road dog like me, we tour all the time, we make, but I was looking today, you love to make full records.
Yeah.
Still, you love to make, you just made a music video.
Mm-hmm.
And in a world where everyone's like, don't waste your time, it's just minute long clips. It's sometimes I feel, what about what I want to do, which is make a music video, tell a cool story, and that music video that you just did for Barstool Therapy, who did that video? Because it looks amazing.
Well, a lot of people were involved in it. And Barstool Therapy is the title track of my new record. So it's Barstool Therapy Session 1.
Right.
It just came out last week, right?
Congratulations, because it is so good. I mean, I want to talk more about it, but continue.
Yeah. Well, so Barstool Therapy is just kind of this, and I've historically been sort of a concept record guy. So I like to get an idea that sort of spawns this whole creative push. And Dos Corazones was one of those things.
Oh, I know. I'm very jealous of that concept record. We went to Chihuahua. Paul and I, because we went to Marfa to finish my record that was Corazón y Cabeza, and they kind of came out similar times.
Yeah.
And Paul goes, we just went to Marfa for 2 days, and John, he took his team to Chihuahua, Mexico. So I interrupted again, but it's what I do best on the podcast.
It's okay. No, you know, we were there for like 11 days, and it was kind of this whole thing. And even going back to like my first record, it all happened in a honky tonk. All of that was sort of stuff that took place in a beer joint. And, you know, Barstool Therapy started out, I'm like a, and Amber has all of these one-liners. She's got them probably cataloged at this point.
Again, I need a wife.
I just say, you know, hey, Barstool Therapy was just kind of a little thing. I'm going to go meet up with Pete at the bar for some Barstool Therapy. I'm going to run down to Cowboys and Cadillacs for some Barstool Therapy. So the idea is just sitting at a bar, you know, and it's weird that we have to talk about this nowadays because people aren't as social as they used to. But it's like, that's really kind of what we do. You sit at a bar and talk about your problems or your day, or and you feel better at the end of it. Mm-hmm. So it's like a little mini therapy session. Not saying that drinking is going to solve your problems, but it's, you know. So Barstool Therapy was just this idea. And when we went to write it, we wrote it 2 or 3 times because we couldn't get the vibe right. Finally got the vibe right. And then that sort of set in motion the video.
Which is funny because we played with you guys at Lone Star Jam. Man, that was a couple years ago. But it was us and Charlie Robinson, remember? We played that festival together. And my band said, oh my gosh, Uncle Laser was at our show. I was like, what? And I looked over and he was there. And then you were after us. So I said, I bet you John knows him. And sure enough, when that video came out, are you guys just buddies? Or how did that come about?
Well, so we kind of became buddies out on 46 in Spring Branch. So what was that?
It was called The District.
Well, is that The District?
Treehouse.
The Treehouse.
I love that place. That place is rad.
Yeah. And was that 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Two, 3 years ago. Sunday fun day. And Laser and I started drinking shots of Juan Lobo, and that's how it started. And so I just, when we had this concept for the video, we had a lot of people involved with it. Mason Dixon is a long time. He's one of my best friends. He's a great film director of all kinds, like music videos. He did the short film for Juan Lobo. My guitar player, Mark Sauceda, his wife, Susie Hamilton, is the producer. And that's what she does for a living here in the San Antonio area.
Oh, wow.
So it was like this big group of people that came together. It was definitely the biggest production of a music video that I've ever done. But on the creative front, it was really, I had this idea around this dance. And the dance was kind of going down the shotgun, this sort of shotgun bar. And so in my mind, it immediately became Riley's Tavern.
Yep.
And then the guy doing the dance was Uncle Laser in my brain. And I'm like, I got to get Uncle Laser to do this. So that's where it began. And it was real loose at first. I'd, you know, call Laser. Hey, do you want to, I'm going to do this video. When are you going to do this? I don't know yet. Would you want to do it? Yeah, because I didn't even have the song done. So it became this kind of really, this dance back and forth between me and Laser to get to the point where he could hear the track, understand the vision, getting everybody on board. So it was a big deal.
It looks like it was a big deal. And he was perfect for that. And you did a little bit of acting.
Yeah, oh yeah.
That was fun. I mean, when I watch something, I can't watch a music video anymore without thinking, oh my gosh, somebody's got to think of your therapist outfit, the glasses, the prescription pad, all of that has to be ordered and at the thing. And it's a lot of work to do a music video, but when it comes together, you know, they live forever. And I wish people would get more back to that, because I have the same thing where I love having a vision for something and then bringing together the people to bring it to life. And it's more impressive nowadays than ever, because people don't, they just lip sync for 60 seconds. I just am appreciating that you're doing that. So does that mean session one is out? That means there's going to be a session two?
Definitely will be a session two. I don't know what we're going to call it. It's a bigger project that's going to get launched next year. And let me just real quick say how thankful I am that you watched the video, because we talked about how people's attention span is so short. And what I'll say about that real quick is just, you know, I feel like, and I think more and more artists are pushing back on this. I think you need to do, and this is me just saying artist to artist, you know, do what you love and do what you're passionate about, and don't worry about the trends. You know, really, it really is. I feel like that people are getting away from the concept of, when you talk about getting away from the concept of a record, you know, man, that bothers me. You know,
because
it's like, dude, I want to do what I think is right for me, and, you know, to hell with all that other stuff. Like, I think there's more and more people that are starting to weigh in on that. And one of the things I was kind of saying recently, it's like, you know, this is another dumb catchphrase, but I don't want to be like a stream chaser. You know, people are chasing streams. I want to be a dream chaser.
Oh, you know? Come on.
You know, dad jokes.
No, I love
it. But it's the truth. I mean, you know, if you're just looking for like a stream, I mean, come on, man. Get out of here. Get out of here with that. You know, that's not the best records that we listen to. Like, I think time will tell on this, but you're seeing some really big artists that are pushing back on, I mean, this week we had, you know, an AI generated number one song.
I know.
Get the hell out of here with that.
I know.
Like, I'm not even gonna entertain that BS. So it's like, make your records, pull your heart and soul into your songs. If you want to cut a video, get Uncle Laser. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, like, do those things. And I think time will tell in terms of, I still feel like that's going to be the right thing for you as an artist.
I agree. And I really, my last full length record was 2022, and I've got something coming next year. But, you know, it had a story, it had a concept, it had an idea. And I felt like I was beating my head against the wall when I was like, what about what I want? What about what I want? Mm-hmm. What about what I want? And I'm going to do what I want. And then I didn't release it the proper way. And then, you know, 2 weeks later, I did feel like people are like, okay, now what? And I was like, hold on. Mm-hmm. But now the pendulum is swinging. And I had 3 people call me last week, really upset with the music business and just really in a lost place. And the AI thing really upset a lot of people. And they're all 3 girls. And, you know, they all are kind of, this doesn't upset you. It upsets me deeply, but I can't really take that on as much. But I feel like we're lucky in the sense where we still get to play live music, and 2 of the 3 girls that called me don't get to play like we do. And I think that people still crave live music because it's the one thing that they know that is real anymore, which some of it isn't sometimes, which is fine. But like, hopefully people will continue to buy tickets and continue to support live music, because it's one of the only things we have left.
Yeah. No, I think, I think there's, you know, this has been a difficult year in the music business. Extra difficult. It's all tough. But, cause I think there's a lot going on. You know, there's a lot of technology that people are trying to wrap their heads around. Again, the AI thing. I think it's been like a kind of a interesting year in the music business, extra tough. You know, the economy's played a role in it. Technology, people are wrapping their heads around it. This like rapid fire release that we've been talking about, with every Friday there's, you know, 1,000 projects coming out. You know, I think it's gonna take some time, but I mean, I have the positive outlook that the music business will continue to expand and find new avenues, and touring will continue to be strong. I mean, it's a tough year for touring, but yeah, I feel like that's always been the sort of, you know, nuts and bolts of the business, and I feel like that hopefully will continue to be the...
Better continue. I'll be out of a job.
Tell me about it.
It is very strange. I'm trying to tour smarter, not harder. So I was just... That was on my list to kind of ask you about if you've... I'm purposefully slowing down a little bit in November, which feels very strange to me, and kind of letting my body recharge and just trying to be a little bit more picky about what dates we do. And I was wondering if you're going through that too.
Well, I mean, I think, it's kind of been a path that I've been on for probably the past 2 to 3 years. Mm-hmm. And, I think that, these are questions stuff I've brought up with Kevin Fowler and Randy Rogers, talking about, how much I want to tour, what tour dates I want to do. So there's an element of stuff that, you have to do, there's definitely a whole big part of paying bills, that kind of thing. But there's a couple different philosophies around that. I mean, sometimes you can lose momentum by becoming a little more selective. And also sometimes it's really good for you personally. I mean, that's kind of, what I was just kind of saying when we're talking about making records. I think you really got to stay true to yourself. And if you believe not touring as much, being more selective is good for you, I think that's the answer to your question. There's a lot of artists that are legendary that have like taken like sabbaticals, entire years off. And
how do you pay your mortgage?
Yeah, that's always tough, of course.
Keep a band. I mean, a lot of times, yeah. We tour year round, so it's like sometimes mm-hmm. I gotta take some stuff so I don't have to re-put together a band. That's a hard thing to do all the time.
For sure.
And keep the guys happy, but also keep yourself happy and healthy. And I mean, I really did it this summer. I was gone a lot, so then I purposely am taking the winter as mm-hmm. like my little recharge.
Hey, this is Bree Bagwell, and if you want to listen to this podcast early and ad-free, subscribe to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/BreeBagwell.
Are you ready to take your merchandise to the next level? Well, just ask me who I use, and that is CH Lone Star Promo. They specialize in screen printing and direct-to-garment, embroidery, laser engraving, anything promo-related, they can do it. Step up your merch game now with CH Lone Star Promo, and tell them Bree and Whiskey sent you.
But at the same time, I kind of thrive on being busy, so mm-hmm. that's hard. And I also don't know any other way, so it's a constant learning experience. But I did get an email that really freaked me out because I got a March offer, and I said, "Oh wow, this is good." And that's a Tuesday. That's kind of strange. And my agent said, "No. It's March of 2027, so it's like a year and a half away." I was like, "Ooh, I don't know what I'm gonna be doing by March." It feels so far away to be talking about a date in Oklahoma a year and a half away. But it is our lives. But definitely since COVID, it's been just a shift. And we're still kind of figuring out. A lot of our bars are gone. That were kind of, you could play this bar every Thursday night and it would be great. And a lot of those are wiped out. So, but I applaud you for having a great live show and being on the road as much as you are, because I know how hard it is.
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. And, all of those things come into play. I mean, I think that it's important for every artist to, make those decisions individually, how much they tour. Sometimes you want to tour a lot and you can't. That's a thing. So I think everything kind of comes with, there's a price to pay with everything, right? Yeah. So you want to tour a bunch. For me, I started touring full time in 2010. So it's been 15 years on the road pretty much. And there were a lot of years that I missed a bunch of birthdays and, you know, missed a bunch of
weddings
and yep. funerals and everything, man. And so you can get out and tour a lot and, you know, make a great living, but there's a price to pay.
Yeah.
You know, and or you can, you know, stay home and work in your garden like I
have. I love that.
And, you know, the bank account's a little tighter. So there's always that flip side, you know, and I think that for us, I've been home a lot in the past few years, and I don't think I would never trade that time. So
right, well, we have the same situation where we like our house and we like our people.
Yeah,
that wasn't always the case with me, so I'd be like, I'm out on the road, but now I have a house that I love, I have a man that I love, and yeah. it's a very nice thing to feel that. Dave, I meant to ask you this, did Dave Brainerd produce this last one too?
Yeah, Dave Brainerd produced everything since Some About, well, the EP Feels Like Country Music.
Okay.
In 2019, Dave and I have been working together.
It feels like y'all really hit your stride as far as, I think he gets what you do perfectly, and he also co-writes with you, and
yep.
you still work with Tony Ramey a lot on yep. songwriting.
Yeah, so it's kind of just like this little, you know, same thing for, it's kind of a tight-knit creative group, and some people like to write with a ton of different co-writers and spend, you know, 2 years or 3 years just writing the songs, and they get them all right, and then they go cut them. It's really, for me, it's really kind of been me and Dave Brainerd and Tony Ramey writing everything. Having Dave in the room being the producer from the inception of the song has kind of been really important to the process and the way the records come out. Dave's a genius. He's brilliant. He totally, it's, you know, he and I are, there's, you know, there's a whole hang to it all, right? I mean, Dave and I love hanging out together, drinking tequila, beer. We sort of see country music in a very similar, through a similar lens. So there's that, and the same thing with Tony. It's just, it works. And I know I can sit with those guys and get what I'm looking for. And if I go the other direction and do a lot of outside writing outside of our group, I mean, you know, I never know. I might go someplace and write with some guys for 3 days and not get anything, you know?
Yes. So. I know. I thought that was so interesting to see his name on a lot of your credits, because I also write with my producer, Rachel Loy. So her and I have really hit a stride.
Yep.
And she doesn't try to change what I do. And I mean, I wrote in Nashville for a long time, but writing for this last record, I'm going to go write with some writers in Nashville. And I went and I said, I'm trying to do this kind of Spanish bordery desert thing. And it was amazing to me that I would sit with these great writers and they would not do what I wanted. Like,
yeah.
They would just, they can't almost help but go in a different direction. Mm-hmm. And so, and it's like, hey, I'm spending thousands of dollars to be here. I'm on the road all the time. So then I go straight from the road to Nashville to the road.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't have time to waste on like you not being careful about what my vision is.
Right.
And so when you find people that they get it, that's so, I'm so happy for you that you found that, I guess, because so did I. And it's lovely.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, again, it's not, you know, perfect all the time, or not saying that I couldn't go right with a handful of guys and come out with some stuff that would be different. And, you know, Dave and I talk about this all the time. Like right now, we still feel like we're still jazzed to do this. You know, when it gets to the point where like, feel like we've maybe written all the ideas, you change up the concept, you know. But for now, we have a blast doing it. And Barstool Therapy is the song specifically, I think is a great example of how much fun we're having.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a fun song. It's clever. It you know, no one's taking themselves too seriously. And,
but it's not cheesy.
Right.
It's like, that's what you do so well, is you make things sound very country, very effortless. Like you're not trying to write this country song that's about Barstool Therapy. It's just, it feels very natural. It feels very, I don't know, you guys have really matched each other's vibe, but when it matches your voice too.
Appreciate
very traditional
it,
sounding voice, but somehow it's things that, like Barstool Therapy, I've never heard that before. Like you always kind of find things that are a new spin on country music, which is very hard to do.
It's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, Dave and Tony are a big part of that. They're you know, and Dave's such a great sort of encyclopedia of country music, where certain things we might be on and he goes, dude, we're just rewriting such and such song, and I'm going, okay, good call. Let's switch that gear up a little bit. And that's kind of what happened with Barstool. I mean, it's got a really big Merle Haggard influence, but the first two tries on Barstool was like, okay, this is pretty much a Merle Haggard song. So, you know, we had to kind of go back and rewrite again and rewrite and try to find that thing. And fortunately, those Dave and Tony both will hang in there to get it right. And I think that's also really important, no matter who you're working with. And it happens a lot in Nashville. I mean, guys are like, because they have their schedules too.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, I've kind of put in my time on this and I'm gonna bail. I'm out. Do
right.
what you want. Fortunately, you know, Tony and Dave, those guys don't, they have that extra gear. It's happened a lot with us. We call it putting the backpack on. You know, it's like,
nice.
You know, when something's not quite there, or even when we're done and the guys are going to be leaving the next morning, if we come up with a song title, you know, Dave and Tony are like, well, let's put the backpack on. Let's go hike up this mountain together. And so they're always willing to do it. They're two of the hardest working dudes I've ever been around. And so I'm going to shout out Tony and Dave. And you know.
Well, it shows, because it's always, you can tell when records are very carefully made. Like,
yeah.
Your record sounds very, this new one especially, but Dos Corazones too, I mean, they sound very carefully made, where you were thinking about every line, thinking about producing. And also they're like, oh, I guess I'll just have to go back to Mexico. We got to finish some more songs. I think that's also part of it. Don't let them fool you. No, I'm just kidding. I'm totally joking. But speaking of Mexico,
I do take these guys to some cool places.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We need to pivot to tequila before we run out of time, because Juan Lobo, when I was thinking about it today, well, I wanted to talk about it. And it's very, I don't text you guys every time, but it happens all the time where we go to bars and people say, you know, you want a drink? And they're like, they have Juan Lobo. Because, I mean, we are friends, and Amber and I especially now, but I think it's literally just because the Texas music scene is so tight. They're like, we know you would want to support this, and we want to.
Right.
It's fun. They just kind of push it for you to your peers, which is, we would support it regardless because of you, but it actually is a very good product, which is important. It is delicious.
Thank
I've had
you.
Too much of it a few times.
Me too.
Yeah, I bet.
Very recently, as a matter of fact.
I bet. Well, I was thinking you might have to have, do you have to have a dummy bottle or something? Because every time I see you, you're bringing people to the bus to try the tequila. And I'm like, oh my goodness, that's a lot of tequila.
Well, I'm going to keep my secrets
right. They're
safe
not for
here.
This podcast. Yeah,
yeah, but no, like, it is tough. Like, and the brand has now been around, you know, really over 5 years. And I think that when I started Juan Lobo, it was, I look back on it, and the initial thought was, how long will I tour? What's the future for me in country music? I have a finance degree. Maybe I should do something else along the way. And, you know, I think that was a pretty simple way to look at it. And I love tequila, and I started learning about the industry of tequila. So once I dove into it, I became more and more and more of a fan of the industry, the history, meeting people in tequila, drinking it. Good tequila, 100% blue agave, good tequila, additive free tequila. So all of those things became a little journey of its own. And so I really think that the passion around, you know, making Juan Lobo is very similar to how I've kind of tried to approach my music. Carefully making good stuff, putting a lot of heart and soul into it, a lot of hard work, and just trying to make a really high quality product. And for us, keeping the price reasonable has been important, but it has been a blessing and a curse, because it's a lot to keep up with. And as the brand has grown, I've often asked myself, have I hurt the brand by being a country singer and maybe not having as much time to dedicate to the brand, or helped it? And the same thing as a country artist, like, has starting Juan Lobo, has it slowed me down as an artist, because I had this other level of stress to deal with, or has it helped my career? I don't know. Maybe I'll never know, but we're going into a new year for Juan Lobo, and a lot of really exciting things are happening. And so the brand's going to keep going. It's going to keep growing.
I love that. And I think it is smart to diversify, but also I get really fired up doing something different. I've also been touring for 15 years. So it's really fun to say, what can I do? You know, I just kind of started a new thing myself where I'm like, I'm really excited about it. And it's really fun. It takes a lot of time. But man, I don't know if I want to tour at the pace that I've been touring in 15 more years. So we definitely have to start thinking about that. Wait, so did you just, I assume you went to Mexico and did a lot of in-person research for this project, or
I don't even know.
I didn't really want to look up the story of how it all kind of came about. Just if you could give me a synopsis in person. I probably heard it, but I was probably drinking tequila.
Well, you know, it's kind of, so I was living in my batch pad in East Riverside in Austin.
In Austin?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Amber and I both lived in Austin for quite a few years. And
we did too. Yeah. Paul and I both, till we got pressed out of there, but that's all right.
You ran? We ran. No, I'm kidding. Austin's great. But, you know, I was kind of living in my batch pad, and at the time my manager said, and this goes back to 2016, late 2016, early 2017. So, you know, he just brought up the idea of another, you know, something along with my music, and he said, man, you love tequila, maybe you should start a tequila brand. And I immediately was like, man, I don't know, that sounds really hard, you know. And from that point, just chatting to people in the world of distilled spirits, researching it, the initial thing was, you know, and I had somebody that was from Mexico that could help me sort of get some meetings with producers and distillers. And we made that first trip, I'm going to say it was late 2016 or early 2017. And that first trip, and that was sort of, you know, the tequila, that was pre-tequila rush. You know, right now there's a lot of brands out there. So a lot of times people will say, hey, did you get into tequila because of, you know, George Strait or George Clooney or The Rock? I'm like, The Rock? Or you go, man, dude, I've been doing, like, you don't just get into tequila. It's a process. It takes anybody that's starting a brand, they're going to dedicate 2 to 3 years probably just building the brand before they can even take it to market. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of backstory there. But as I got into it and met people, and it's like anything, you know, you take one step at a time and you're climbing the ladder and you're like, oh wait, I'm 10 feet off the ground, I'm going to keep climbing, and oh dang, I'm 20 feet off the ground now. That's kind of how it's been with Juan Lobo, just one step at a time. And I met a lot of really great producers and distillers, but I settled in on working with the Bivanco family. They're in Arandas, Mexico,
mm-hmm.
the wow. Highlands of Jalisco.
Yes.
And I've been doing business with them now for over 5 years. I just signed another 5-year contract. The number of their distillery is NOM 1414. They've really grown as a distillery. They're 5 generations of agave farmers. So it's a great family, and they've been making tequila for over 50 years. They have a fantastic master distiller. I would say our producer, NOM 1414, is now considered probably a top 10 distillery in the world of tequila. So they're like family to me, and they're great people, and they just make really great tequila. So it becomes at a certain point in time, you know, because tequila has to be made in Jalisco. So that's what, you know, a lot of people ask me.
Like, by the law.
You know, a lot of people ask me do I make my tequila here in Texas? And it's like, no, I don't make it in my bathtub. I've tried, you know. But you can't make tequila anywhere other than Jalisco. So once you sort of establish that, then it's a matter of, you know, who do you want to work with that's going to sort of partner with you on your vision? And I found the right team, and it's a great family. And they work super hard at every time we're in production. They work super hard to make sure that it's Juan Lobo tequila. I'm there tasting every batch, making sure that it's correct.
Paul Eason would love to be your assistant batch taster. He's wanting to go to Jalisco like more than anywhere in the world right now. So,
well,
if you need a friend,
be careful what you ask for.
Sacrifice.
It's a lot of tequila.
I bet. Yeah. So, what does make it that different than, you know, what are you tasting for? If somebody who doesn't know a lot about tequila, what are they looking for here?
Well, with Juan Lobo, so our process is very traditional. We do have all three expressions, so Blanco, Reposado, and Añejo. Reposado and Añejo is aged Blanco, okay? So those are both aged, different categories. But our Blanco is a very traditional process. The agaves are owned by the family, so they're estate-owned agaves. They're not bought on the open market, which is important. Juan Lobo, all of our expressions are 40 ABV. So right now we don't have a high proof Blanco. Some people think if it's dark color, it's stronger.
Right.
That's not the case. But with
that's about as strong as I want it though.
Yeah, exactly. Juan Lobo is very citrus and clean and fruit forward. It's very agave forward. It does have a little bit of like this brine taste to it that it comes from copper pot stills.
Cool.
So that's the Juan Lobo thing. It's very much a traditional Mexican tequila. So, and it's a quintessential Highlands taste. So Highlands it's very specific to the Highlands. So when we go into production, there's a recipe that's followed that sort of, and it sort of comes from how the agaves are harvested all the way to the cooking time, the fermentation. It's fermented with champagne yeast, which is becoming more and more popular.
That's up my alley.
And then it's distilled in copper pot stills twice. So you follow that sort of recipe, and what you end up with is Juan Lobo tequila. It can vary a little bit from batch to batch, but that's really the beauty of craft tequila. So there's your tequila lesson.
That was
for
a great job. I'm sure you've done it a million times. He's like, I thought we were going to talk about different stuff on the podcast.
No.
But no, I do want to tell everyone, and I really do enjoy it. I like it. And shout out to Cowboys and Cadillacs for having us here. They have Juan Lobo tequila week. Paul and I had one of the margaritas the other night. It was incredible.
Super good.
Yeah. So, yeah. And can you buy it online? Do you ship? They ship?
Yeah, you can go to JuanLoboTequila.com.
And I meant to do that today.
Yeah.
But I figured you could.
And we're all over Central Texas.
Right.
So, mm-hmm. we're the presenting tequila for Flores Country Store.
Yes.
This will be our fifth or sixth year doing that, believe it or not.
Wow.
And we're also going to be the presenting tequila for Rodeo Austin this year for the third year.
That's incredible.
So one step at a time, yeah. You know. But you can find us all over Central Texas and, you know, and of course online or Cowboys and Cadillacs.
Yeah, or in person. We might be drinking it with you.
Come on down.
In New Braunfels. That's where we all live now.
Yeah.
And you're going to be at Floors December 19th. I think this will be out by then. So
sweet.
You always pack that place. You got to go see a John Wolf show. And the tequila is amazing, of course. But just like everything you do, it's classy. It's well-made. It's well-researched. And I feel like that's a very... very much a part of your brand that I hear in the music and you taste in the tequila. We've never talked about it, but I can tell that you're really involved in everything that you do and happy to call you a friend and also, you know, inspiration too.
Thank you for that. I appreciate
that. You're welcome. Nice. Thanks for coming here today.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate it. JohnWolfCountry.com. Well, I was stressing out. I actually knew that, but I was stressing out because whenever I say your name, I'll say John Wolf. And Paul's yeah. like, Wolf, and I'm like, but I say yeah. Wolf, regular Wolf, like with a just Wolf too. Like, there's a Wolf of I know, but like,
yeah.
even the just the regular word, I yeah. I can't say the L in there. Well, JohnWolfCountry.com.
Oh yeah.
The week has got you worked up. You got the working man blues. From the bills out in the mailbox to the round-the-clock bad news. Hell, I ain't no doctor, but I got a redneck PhD and time-tested, guaranteed long-neck remedies. You need a little bar stool therapy to ease your troubled mind. A little neon meditation to get you through hard times. Stop thinking, just start drinking, 'cause all you really need cold medication and barstool therapy. Some people just go crazy because they take too many pills. Some people just get sideways.